Thank you, Pastor Teresa, and happy Mother's Day again to all the mums and the grandmums and the great-grandmothers and the stepmums and the spiritual mothers, you know, the ones that just pour out into us. I know my life has been influenced so much by beautiful women such as Judy Phillips or people like Pip and Prue that just pour love into our children. So we just want to honour you today. And, you know, I've heard that motherhood is just like riding a bike, except you're speeding downhill, you have no brakes, and the wheels are on fire. Does anybody relate to that? It's true. But we have something really special for you today with these wonderful women, and they're not here as poster mums to say, you know what, I'm doing everything right. Far from it. They're real women here to share true stories and lessons they've learned from probably a lot of trial and error. So we thank you, we honour you today. First of all, why don't we introduce ourselves a little bit. Beck, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family? Have we got a photo?
Yes.
To put up?
So this is my family. I have Mackenzie, who's 5. Hartley, who's just about to turn 3, and Kit is almost 8 months as well. So we've got our hands full, and that's my husband Sam up there. So, yeah, we've got a full life.
Wonderful. I love that real photo. What about you, Trish?
I was just waiting for the photo. So I'm Trish. So I'm a stepmom and a mother. So my older two kids are from my husband's previous marriage, which we raised together. And I've also had 4 boys of my own. Oh, there they are. So they're our older two kids. We've got Joseph, he's 19. Zoe, she's our oldest, she's 21. And then Isaiah on the left, he's 12. Hugo's 8. Lucas 2. And Malachi is 10.
So, wonderful. And the lovely Marita, why don't you tell us about your family?
Yeah, well, it all started 43 years ago when Russell and I got married. I'm Marita, my husband Russell. I'm not going to go through all the names. Yeah, we had 2 boys and 2 girls, and over the last 41 years, it's expanded from beautiful spouses and 10 adorable grandchildren. So we feel really blessed.
Wow.
And it's kind of funny, but Nana and Dad are in there too. She's a great-grandmother and grandmother and mum-in-law, and those two have been an integral part of our family as well.
That's wonderful. Do I have a photo of my family today? I do. This is my family. This is what we call a unicorn photo because it's very rare that you see all of us together and happy and clean like that. But this is, it's true. Honestly, can I tell you something? I'll tell you a real story. A few weeks ago, all of my 6 children were hit with a vomiting bug. And I tell you what, instead of happy families, our house, it was like a Stephen King horror film. It was horrible. So looking at this photo, this is nice. This isn't the real picture, but this is nice. So my eldest, I've got Leo. He's almost 16. I've got Scarlett, Vienna, Beau, Ivy, Asher. Did it. So mum to 6, good fun. But before we kick off today, we just want to do some quick get-to-know-you questions. Now, these are going to get right to the heart, okay? Marita, I'd like to ask you, it's karaoke night. What song are you going to pick?
Dancing Queen.
Dancing. What about you, Trish?
J-Lo, Let's Get Loud.
I'd say I Don't Want to Be by Gavin DeGraw, which probably no one knows, but it's the theme song to One Tree Hill,
nice.
My high school drama TV show.
There you go. What about, Marita, who was your childhood celebrity crush?
Okay, we're talking 1970s, was David Cassidy.
I thought you said it was always Russell for you. What about you, Trish?
Mine was Ricky Martin and Ashton Kutcher. Oh.
I had Chad Michael Murray.
Mine was weird. I don't know why. I was 12. I was in love with Kevin Costner from 12 years old. I don't get it. Anyway, moving on. Okay, it's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday night. You're exhausted. You don't want to cook. What's that embarrassing meal you're going to whip up for the kids out of nothing? Or what do you give them when you don't want to cook?
Happy meals.
Macca's run.
Macca's run.
What about you, Trish?
2 minute with noodles.
Yes.
Baked beans on toast was pretty good.
Baked beans on toast, yes. It just makes you feel better. I was hoping we'd get some Weet-Bix, you know, put some banana on it, complete meal. Wonderful. But, Beck, what we want to know, what do you love about being a mum? What do you find most rewarding about being a mum, or do you find anything rewarding at all?
Actually, I do, even at 3 o'clock in the morning. I love being their safe place. I find that the hugs and the cuddles, especially at this age, just knowing that I'm their safe place and they can come, and like whether it's the middle of the night or in the day when they're scared or when they need something, they know they can come to mum, and that to me is one of my favourite things.
Oh, that's wonderful. What about you, Trish?
Mine would be coaching them through life, but in different like seasons of their life, since from when they're little to as they get older. And just being able to, just teach them things that I've been taught, mm-hmm. and to help them to be independent for when, you know, I will be there, but when they've moved out of home at some point. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So sitting from my position as a grandmother, 60, well, we won't talk about the age, but what I love about it now is that I have grown adult children that I have a great relationship and their spouses, and I've learned so much from them, and I feel such unconditional love from them, and they're me to them, and they produce 10 grandchildren. What a blessing.
Wow, that's amazing. I would say for me, my favourite thing about being a mum is when they're all asleep. But I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. You can honestly, as a mum, you can be going through anything, have the most horrific day, be rocking in the corner, but then they're asleep and you go in and look at your child and you just think, oh, I'm the luckiest woman in the world. True story. So
true.
That is what I love about being a mum. Yeah. If you were to jump on social media anytime, you're going to see, you know, you're going to be inundated with happy families like my photo up there and clean, shiny faces, and it is a total myth. So today we want to bust that. We want to hear what's something you got horribly wrong in parenting, or a fail, or, you know, something that you can share with us to make us all feel better about our parenting. Beck, what can you help us out with today?
Well, if we're saying fails, probably my first one was when Mackenzie was a baby. It was a heat wave that came through the Sunshine Coast. It was 34 degrees the day we took her home from the hospital. So they drummed into me. I had 6 different midwives tell me, do not give your baby water. Like, all your baby needs is breast milk. You don't have to supplement with water. I didn't realise, and I didn't even think, that that finishes at a certain point. So when Mackenzie was older and eating food, and we were having issues with constipation, so I took her to the doctor, and the doctor's going through what she's eating, and the doctor's like, how much water is she drinking? And I was like, water? Like, I'm still breastfeeding her, like, does she need water? They told me not to give her water. So that was a very tough lesson I learned. That's as a new mom.
So funny, thank you, that makes me feel so much better. What about you, Trish?
So with me, I made an appointment to get my eyebrows done, but they're the henna eyebrows, and it was, the boys finished school at 3 o'clock, and I was like, oh, 3:30, it should, you know, be enough time. So my appointment was at 2:30, and I'm like, surely they'll get it sorted and done anyway. It was like 3:45, then it was 4, and then the office is calling me, are you coming to collect your children? And I was like, oh my goodness, yep, I'm on my way now. And so now every time I want to get my eyebrows done, my boys are like, oh God, no mum, please don't get your eyebrows done. I don't want to go through that again.
Oh, that's awesome. What about you, Marina?
Oh, one that comes to mind does remind me. So we used to go to church when the kids were younger. We'd take 2 cars because of different things that we were doing in church, and got home one day and we'd forgotten one. And it was still at church.
It happens. Which one?
Oh, that's sorry, so Simon.
Oh, no. I feel like Jake and I, we just started failing from the very beginning. Like, I've got so many. I feel like that's why we had so many children, because it was like, you're going to get it right eventually. But even our firstborn, our first appointment with the doctor, we didn't even take a nappy bag. So he's on the, sorry, Dr. Kemi, he's on the examination table and he's having a poo-splosion or a poo-nami. We have no nappies. My husband's running up the street trying to buy nappies. It was, yeah, from the very beginning, but I've got too many stories. I'll write a book about it one day. But Marita, you were one of 13 children, which is extraordinary.
Yes.
What is something you learned from your mum that you wanted to pass on to your children?
When I think about my mum and the tragedy that she went through, she was actually pregnant with her 13th child when her 17-year-old passed away. And life was very, very difficult for her. But the one thing I admire from her and want to pass on is resilience.
Yeah.
To be able to come back, to keep going, no matter what comes your way, which, you know, life's not a bed of roses. Actually, that'd be rather not comfortable, really, with all the thorns. But anyway. But, you know, she had this saying, it is what it is. If I can't change it, I can't complain about it. And she said that on her bed before she passed away. She was 99 and she couldn't get up off the bed. She says, well, it is what it is. No use complaining about it. And I think that's a wonderful thing that I would love me to have resilience and for my children to have resilience and grandchildren.
That's wonderful. What about you, Trish? What's like a lesson you learned from your mum or something that you wanted to pass on?
Mine would be similar to Marita's, but with my mum, it was, she had a bit of a full-on upbringing as well. So her, for me, it was just, you just get up and go, you just keep going. The strong, like, and I feel and believe that that's come through, like, down to me, like, she's just, you know, ingrained that in me as well. But, you know, just get up and go and just, same thing, there's not, you can't change a situation. You can change yourself though, and moving forward. And today's gonna, you know, today's not gonna be forever. There's a new day tomorrow. So I'm always saying to my kids is, today hasn't been a great day, but tomorrow we've been blessed with a new day, so we can just start again, and then just being, you know, just being strong through those hurdles that we all go through.
That's a wonderful lesson. Yeah. What about you, Beth?
My mom's amazing, and one of the things I took away, I think, looking over my childhood is how wholeheartedly she did things. So she was the type of mum that even now I'm like, wow, how did you do all of the things that you used to do? I remember she used to help in kids' church at the church I grew up in, and she used to transform the room into these magical places. She turned our dining room table into an elephant for Noah's Ark. And we used to, I used to win every costume competition I was in because she'd be up all night sewing costumes and she'd make all the cakes and all the things. And I think something I really learnt was that wholehearted diligence of when we do something, we put ourselves into it and we do it well. And that's something that I've taken away from my childhood and I really hope my kids learn as well.
That's wonderful. I'd like to share if my mum, she doesn't live here, she might be watching this online later, but one thing that I so appreciate about my mum was she was a praying mother. She prayed for us and we were wayward teenagers, all of us except for my eldest brother, all of us, and she prayed. And even when it seemed like there was no hope, she prayed continuously, and now all of her children have come back to God, and it's a beautiful thing, and I took that on. Praying for my kids, praying with my kids, which is a beautiful thing. Although just at Easter time, it was funny, it was my four-year-old, she couldn't get to sleep. And I said, we'll pray. Asha, we'll pray to Jesus. And she said, but Mummy, Jesus died. And it was such a beautiful thing. But I think she only got half the message from Easter. Marita, so you have transitioned from parenting into, I mean, you're always a parent, right?
Yeah,
but you're transitioning into grandparenting season.
Yes.
How are you different, or are you different as a grandparent than as a parent?
Oh my gosh, I am so different as a grandparent. I'm way more relaxed. I keep telling myself I'm not responsible for parenting them. All I need is to just get to know these grandchildren and love on them, and teach them things that that I love. Like every grandchild's different, but you know, it might be having a cup of tea and talking. Some like that. Some like in the garden. Some like me doing craft with them. But parenting is just it's not my responsibility. I can just love and maybe spoil them, and you know, but also respect, you know, the way my children are parenting their children. Yeah.
And what would you say to people entering the grandparenting season? Like, what would you say to encourage them?
Yeah. So this, just what I said before, Christy. Like, I think that parenting nowadays is so different to how it was even 30, 40 years ago. And I think it's to respect the parents' way of parenting, because it's so different.
Yeah.
And you have to be different. Yeah. You guys are, you've got, your children are facing something completely different to what my children. Yeah. We didn't have internet. We didn't have, you know, games, and we didn't have the pressure of phones and all of that. And so they have to navigate it so differently. And so when the children are in my care, I want to always do that. I think that's a really... another thing for me is prayer is so powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've spent my life praying for my children, you know, my motherhood life, praying for my children, and I feel the same with my grandchildren. Protection, you know, the right friends to have, health, and you know, that they can be released to their gifts and callings. And prayer to me is very, very important. And one more thing is just to create memories for them. So doing things that they will remember me by. I've got a couple, but you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I intentionally created memories.
That's wonderful.
Because when I'm gone, I want them to go, oh, Karemi, love hearts. Karemi, love carry shells. But there's stories behind them which I share with them when they're older.
That's amazing. Yeah. And Trish, yeah, give Marita a hand. She's a beautiful, inspiring mother and grandmother, and we cherish you. Trish, you stepped into, at a fairly young age, into the role of stepmum. Without any parenting experience, what are the greatest lessons you learned? Like, what challenges did you have to overcome in that? And then you had four children of your own, but what did you have to overcome as a stepmom? Like, what did you learn?
So, yes, there's so much into it. As you know, coming into, I felt at the time, coming into a blended family, it was very complex trying to figure it all out, because obviously you've got the other side of the parents as well, of the stepchildren, and trying to navigate all that. And it was, you know, just trying, you know, not speaking bad of the other parents, and also a lot of prayer through it all. And also, I guess, with, like, I'm just trying to, it was a lot of prayer, but then it's such a blessing. It's been such a big blessing at the same time, because I've always had to put myself in the kids' shoes, like the older kids' shoes. I had to put myself in their shoes, but I'm not going to say it was overnight. Like, it was over time, it was over years, and to understand where they were at, it wasn't always about me type thing. It was about them, because they have hearts, they have souls, they have they're struggling as much. You know, they were struggling more so than what I was. And when I married Dan, I was marrying into the children, if this makes sense, marrying into the children as well. So I was getting married with the whole thing, not just Dan. So I said that to my children. I said, look, you know, when I marry your dad, we're doing this together. So that was, so that's what. And another thing, a huge thing, would be being inclusive with all the children, not having one spoiled than the other type thing, and also fairness as well. You know, one rule is for everyone, not one rule here for you because you're my child, and one rule for you because you're not my biological child type thing. So it was just a big blanket of fairness and what did I just say, fairness and inclusion, yeah. Wonderful. And being...
And you've done an incredible job, hasn't you?
Yeah.
Fantastic. You're beautiful. Beck, I remember when you came to this church, you were about 18 years old and you're just a woman with drive and you're organised and accomplished. And how did having 3 kids in 5 years mess that up for you?
Well,
all the high achievers out there.
Well, it definitely, like, your life does stop when you have a baby. Like, as a mum, everything stops. And, it is. It's almost like a mini identity crisis almost because you've got to rediscover who you are as a mum and what your life actually looks like now and... where you find your sense of accomplishment changes because obviously you're not out in the workplace doing things. And I think one of the revelations I had to have really early on was that my children are my greatest ministry. They're my greatest work. There's a scripture I often reflect on, which is in Nehemiah where he's building the wall and there's all these distractions coming at him and saying, like, come down and do this, come down and do that. And he's like, I'm working on a great project. I can't come down. Why should I come down to you? And so I often, when I'm tempted to be distracted and go sign up to do this and go do this job or go do this, I'm like, actually, my children are my greatest work. They're my great project. Why should I look at other things?
Wonderful. What would you say to other mums in this busy season when you're, you know, juggling? Is there such thing as balance?
No. I get asked a lot, actually, Beck, how do you do it all? Because we've got the 3 kids and we've also got a business that we run and life is very full. But I often say, like, we don't do it all. Like, yes, you see the surface, but you don't see my house. Like, we don't have people over very often because the house is atrocious because if I'm at work, I'm not at home and everyone only has the same amount of hours in the day. And so I think it's really easy to see what's on social media. It's really easy to see what people look like when they come to church and what other mums are doing in your perspective. But behind the scenes, you can only do what you can do.
That's
and
don't compare yourself.
Ever.
Because you don't know, exactly what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And surround yourself with other mums that are going to be real and share their shopping stories with you as well. We've already touched a little bit on this, but I would love you to share how your relationship with God, has that impacted your parenting, Marita? Like, how has it helped you navigate through difficult seasons?
Yeah, okay. My relationship with God, especially when the children were little, you know, it wasn't like an hour prayer and it's nothing like that. My relationship with God was awareness that he was there all the time.
Wow. Beautiful.
He is there all the time, every moment. And he really was the anchor to me, for me.
Yeah.
He just brought me hope and encouragement and it just, and honestly, for everything that would happen, I had a scripture that I could relate, you know, with healing by stripes, we are healed. Protection, like there's every kind of area of bringing up children that he gave me scriptures to pray and to believe and bring me hope, really.
Yeah.
So I hit a real point. I was married with low self-esteem, so I'm having children with, you know, no real identity and very low self-esteem. So I was consistently fighting that feeling of being a failure as a mom, fighting that feeling, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, all of that stuff for many years. Until one time when I was praying about it, and I felt God say, you will fail in some of your ways that you're doing things, you know. And I have repented to all my kids, and I'm sorry, children, but I'm, you know. But what he showed me was in Corinthians, and it's, you know, what love is. And then down the bottom it says, love never fails. And so I took this on quite young, and I know all my family will know that that's my foundation scripture, that love never fails. So I may fail them in my parenting ability, I may fail them, they may fail me, but it doesn't matter because if we have that foundation of love, it will never fail. And it just gave me so much peace and, you know, still trying my way of parenting. But for me, that is my foundation. Love never fails.
That's wonderful. Thank you. What about you, Trish? How has your relationship with God impacted your parenting, and how has he helped you navigate through different seasons?
Oh, he's helped me navigate through so many different seasons and still is. It's just, for me, I guess it was having that dialogue with God every single day, because as Marita was saying as well, having that hour prayer every day, and you know, it's a bit hard to do that. So my prayer time is like when I'm hanging out the washing, or I'm doing, like, that they're the spaces that he will talk to me, and I'm like, God, look, I am feeling so weary, I'm exhausted today, and then he'll just drop something and tell me, and then just, oh, and then my spirit will just be awakened again, like just going, oh, thank you, God, like I just really need to hear that. And just even times, like, you know, how things can, you know, it can be such a full house, full life, with all the kids running around doing their things. I've got a prayer cupboard at home, so when, you know, if it gets all too much, I make sure everyone's safe, or the oldest one's looking after the little one, I'll just go in my room and just go, boys, or if the older two are there, they all know Mum just needs that time with God just to reset and to keep going.
Yeah.
Because he's the one, because he is, like as Merida was saying, he is the anchor to everything. And then also just for me throughout all these years as well, is just knowing who I am through Christ.
Wonderful.
Not through the eyes of social media, not through the eyes of, you know, X, Y, and Z type thing. So it was like, who am I through Christ? And speaking those scriptures over myself, and then obviously protection and everything over the children. But it start, I feel for me, it needs to start with me for it to flow down to the family.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Trish. What about you, Beck?
I don't know how people do parenting without God. Like, I say that a lot, because it's a hard thing. I remember I never had felt anxiety before. Like, I don't recall it being an overwhelming feeling until I had a baby. I remember coming home from the hospital just going, oh my gosh, Lord, I need you. I need to cast my burdens and this anxiety onto you, because the fear of what if something happens to her, and now all three of them. And having that, I need that daily bread from God for the strength to do things. And I think a revelation that really helped me, when I first became a mum, the chaos of life would happen, and the prayer time was one of the first things that would kind of disappear, because you don't have that hour to kind of sit in prayer in the morning. And if I'm going to, like, if I'm honest and try and wake up before the kids, I'm getting up at 3 a.m. and I've only just gone to bed at 1 because I've been up with the baby. So, but as I've had more kids and come to this point, I've realized that I need to pray more than ever. Like, I need God in this journey with me. And I'm not the greatest at maths, but an equation that I very quickly discovered out of the Bible was the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I think that's... And they're all the things... But they're all the things that we need as parents. That's what it's like, Lord, I just need a bit more patience, or like, we need some joy in this house, or, and all of that is the fruit of the Spirit. So when I'm struggling to feel the joy, or I'm struggling with patience or the self-control, or the, like with the kids when they're all tantruming and it's like, ah, I just want to throw a tantrum too, what I need is more Holy Spirit. And
that's wonderful. Thanks for that, Beck. I found in my own journey too, like you said, Marita, it's just, you know, you don't have time. We don't have time to pull out a guitar and light a candle. It's just the awareness of his presence in the day. And something Pastor Dan said years ago stuck with me, you know, the clothesline prayer or things like that. Finding little pockets of space in your day where you can just stop and just go, oh, God, are you still here? Yes. You know. And sometimes it was just me crying out and saying, what did I do to deserve this? And then other times it's the exact same sentence, but it's like, oh, what did I do to deserve this? It's funny. But it's just that awareness, and just and planning for those little pockets of space that you get, because you don't want to end up scrolling. But it's a wonderful thing, and we'll put worship music on in the morning just to set an atmosphere in our home. You know, even at the end of the day, it's a hot mess, whatever. But we try and start the day well with good intention. But Thank you so much this morning for sharing so openly and so honestly. Why don't you give these guys a hand this morning? We just wonderful. Mums, we salute you. There is no easy season of parenting, whether you are up at night with babies or dealing with little toddlers while they're toilet training or actually or tantruming, which they can do right up until they're older, actually, I've noticed. Whether you're dealing with teenage angst and trying to navigate the tech season, or maybe you have adult children and you're just trying to keep the family together. But we salute you and we acknowledge the wonderful, difficult job that you're doing. We all make mistakes and we all doubt ourselves, but one thing I can say without a doubt is the best person to raise your kids is you, and God put that child in your care. You are the woman for the job. So why don't you just give a hand to all our beautiful mums out there and up here. As we finish, I would just love to pray for all the mums. So why don't you close your eyes. Dear Jesus, we lift up every mum to you in this place, Lord. You know the season that they're in. You know their struggles. You know the situation of their heart. God, you know the state of our families. For those who are feeling depleted and exhausted, Lord, I thank you that you remind us, Jesus, that you walk with us, God. You help us carry that load and you just bring restoration, God. You just bring peace to people today, God. For those feeling shame or condemnation, like you just don't measure up, we thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every day, and every day is a day to start again, to try again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you just bring hope and revelation to these people. Lord, and we just pray for people today. We know that for some today, this day, it can bring pain. It can be associated with pain or with grief for you, because maybe you're in a difficult family situation, or maybe you've lost your mom or lost a child. We just pray for those today, Lord. We just pray for healing in people's lives. Lord, we just pray for hope for the future, Lord, that you restore families, God. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom, God, that you breathe fresh life into families and strengthen them across this place today. Amen.
Awesome, church. Let's just thank all our panelists.